It's the LRC. The podcast was a game. We be MVP. Knowledge is power. Lend an ear for the next hour and tell these other whack podcasts to hit the showers. We the best. Numero uno. We like the sumo. Up against the straw weight. Our content's great. We talking sports, pop culture, the squared circle and all. You shanky on the mic, mixed with Jinder Mahal, and we some Paul Heymans. Had enough that you could say when. Until then, we gon' keep killing Brian Pillman. Sign still in
champs again. Back for some football. Week 13 edition. Lucky week 13. Mr. Just right here remotely with my good friend Len Biggs. What's up, Len?
Oh, you know, getting into the thick of things here with the NFL season, Mikey. It's getting serious now. We're getting really going to start eliminating some teams, start punching some tickets. It's getting serious.
We're going to be sniffing around. We're going to be in the hunt.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be all of that here pretty soon.
Oh, yeah.
We're recording a day late. It's Wednesday, November 29th on the calendar. Because Len had a little procedure. Len, is it fair to call it an extraction of sorts?
Yeah, extraction. A couple teeth extracted. Made it impossible for me to do a podcast last night. So, but here I am today, fighting a good fight. I'm back.
Well, you sound no worse for wear, sir. Just curious, Len, after an extraction such as the one you went through, what do you eat the next day?
That's a great question, Mike. So, first of all, yesterday, it was just all soft food, soft diet, and nothing hot. So, yesterday, the entire of my day, you know me, you know how much I eat. My whole day, what I ate yesterday was one banana and two cups of pudding. Snack packs, if you will. One chocolate, one my favorite, butterscotch. And that's literally all I had yesterday. Today, I had some scrambled eggs this morning. And then I had a sushi roll from Martin's this afternoon.
Okay.
It was manageable, but not great.
Okay.
Yeah, I got these molars out, which is where I chew, like, all my food. You know what I mean? Like, my whole life, I've always chewed my food there. So that's probably why they need to remove. But I'll tell you what, man. I haven't had a tooth pull in a while. And, oh, man, was that a bad experience. Let me just say that. Holy shit. I had two, one on each side. The first one, you know, he Novocaine me up. First one popped right out of there in about 3 seconds. He's like, that one's done. I was like, oh my God, that was awesome. I wasn't expecting that. I thought it'd be a lot worse than that. Then this next one, the one that I've actually been having a bunch of problems with, it like was broken and it bothered me. And it'd been painful last week and a half or so. So I was worried about that one. I'm going to tell you one thing. He gave me so much Novocaine. First time he touched it, he didn't even do anything. As soon as his tool touched that tooth, it was the most excruciating pain I've had probably in my life. I don't remember ever being in more pain than that. It hurt so bad. And I was like, no. He like said, raise your hand if it's too bad. So I raised my hand. Then he's like, all right, let me give you some more. Give me some more Novocaine. Next time went, same exact thing. So painful. I mean, it was like death. I was like, oh my God, I'm never going to be able to get this done. So then the lady says, we have one more thing, this other injection we do straight into the gum. She's like, it doesn't take any time to like numb. It immediately numbs it. So he's like, when we do this, she said, you're either going to have to grin and bear it and like let him rip it out of there, or you're going to have to come back another time. And I was like, I'm not coming back another time. So let's do it. And that stuff did work enough for me to allow him to get that tooth out. But it was rough, man. Holy shit. I don't recommend it. Don't get your teeth pulled.
Oh, man, that does sound rough. Now, Len, I'm not a dentist, okay?
Right.
But might I make a recommendation of something you might be able to eat, perhaps even later this evening?
Yeah, sure.
It consists of, first of all, just some real, I like to call it pillowy. I love that adjective.
That's a good adjective.
Inside, it's a little bit creamy, okay? And just enough bite to it to get you over the line and give you something consistent. It is what we like to call here in the living room, the ESS. Now, that's short for egg salad sandwich. Some people say ESW, egg salad wedge. We really don't care.
ESS is the official term. I mean, I thought about that earlier today, swapping again an ESS. It's great. And I may do that right after this podcast, possibly, because it's got some protein for me there. It's got some carbs. I can, you know, it's a good, great sandwich. You're right. I turned Mikey onto this. I mean, not onto egg salad in general, but for the most part. And me and my boys, the Zangs, all them guys, we know Sheetz ESS from Sheetz local store. Sheetz ESS is the top of the tops. It's the freshest bread you'll ever place your mouth around. It is the most delicious egg salad sandwich. And my mom, I'm not lying, my mom makes egg salad sandwich minimum once a month, I would say, my whole life. She loves egg salad. And it's solid. But Sheetz crushes it. Sorry, Betty, but the Sheetz ASS is just light years better. And, that's a good point, though. It's a good sandwich for this situation. Now, I'm just hoping, you know, this heals up relatively well in the next week or so, because we got a big day ahead of us, football day at the Funk House, and I need to be able to eat a lot of food that day. So I need some healing to happen here in the next week and a half.
I'm confident you'll heal right up, Len, and I think an ESS might just expedite that healing process for you. Just don't get caught driving with one. Don't eat ESS and drive, okay? It's not recommended. It's fire. It's
highly addictive.
Schedule 2 food. Tim Sheetz himself, right from his kitchen. Len turned me on to it big time, and it's really all I can think about nowadays.
Delicious sandwich.
It's always on my mind, just like football. We had a nice Thanksgiving slate of games. We got a little upset. Our LRC Lions spoiled Thanksgiving for their faithful in a big loss to the Packers. The rest of the games were just, I know you probably didn't enjoy the Seahawks game, Len, the Cowboys game.
No, not at all.
Football was not a great distraction from Thanksgiving.
No, not great games. We had three games. I like having three games. And they, on paper, three division games, three solid games, on paper seemed fine. Didn't quite work out the way you'd want it to, but it was fine. It was still football on Thanksgiving. Lay around after you eat and watch some football. So it's fine.
Now, let's get into the wheel. Before we do that, I was 10-6 last week. So were you. That brings me to 95-69. And you at 106-58. Don Dawson beat us both. We were just talking about this before we went on the air. Might be the first guy ever to beat us both cleanly in 1 week in the history of this whole podcast. So shout out to Don Dawson. He's had a real solid season of picks. He's the leader of the clubhouse for guests and just an unassuming football expert. And he really knows his shit. And he does know his shit about wrestling, too. And with that being said, Len, I just want to remind everybody as well about the wrestling thing. Squared Sofa coming up here soon. We got about another week or so, I'll give it, for your homework to re-gimmick some of these superstars we picked. If you missed that, go out and check out the second half of last week's episode, Squared Sofa. It's titled. We also did our week 12 picks in that episode. I'm really regretting not using my respin right now. I really got the short end of the stick. I think I'm really struggling with B-Fab, Lash Legend, and Eric from the Viking Raiders. But I'll come up with something. I got a good idea, I think, for B-Fab and Lash. But we'll see.
All right.
So tune in a couple weeks. We're going to bring, hopefully, CM Nick, the cancer of the living room, live and in person back. If we can throw enough money at him to get him to show up. And then Don Dawson will be here as well. So look forward to that. But let's get right into week 13, shall we, Len? Seahawks, two Thursday games in a row. Is that right?
Them and Dallas both. Them and Cowboys both.
Well,
so let's just get it out of the way right away. The Seahawks are on a decline, without a doubt. Loses a two straight, down to 6-5. Going to Dallas. Fact I saw on Thursday, no road team has had the lead in Dallas this season. No one, no visitor has even had the lead in Dallas this season. So, obviously, a high watermark here for Seattle to try to get over. They're going to be without their star running back, Kenneth Walker, again. Geno has not elevated this year. He's, in fact, regressed back to the mean, if not worse. And things are not promising, because following this, they got San Francisco on the road and then Philly at home the next two games. Realistically, they're staring 6-8 right in the face, and then they'll have to win their last three to even have a chance. That's Tennessee, Arizona, and the Stairway, so it's at least feasible, but you really would like to get one of these tough games. This is the one I would have circled if I was Seattle as a game maybe you could steal. But like I said, Dallas has been unbelievable at home. Seattle is just not playing well right now. So I'm not going to take Seattle. I can't. I'm going to take Dallas. Seattle just isn't playing well enough for me to expect them to win this game. So I think Dallas wins it.
Yeah, I'm on record calling the Cowboys fraudulent. I don't think they're going to come through the NFC, but they are playing really well right now. That defense is undeniable. Dak is playing probably better than he ever has in his career. That running game's starting to get going. CeeDee Lamb's red hot. I got to take the Cowboys at home, especially against his defense. Geno, Len, just he folds like origami in that pocket. He gets sacked quite a bit.
Holds the ball way too long, falls down, or if he doesn't fall down, actually I prefer when he falls down, because when he doesn't fall down, he usually gets strip sacked. So, he is just not playing well this season. And, some of that you can blame on the line. They've had a rotating cast of characters there, including Abe Lucas, who's been out all season. He only played a quarter. And then Cross missed part of the season. So their two rookie tackles from last year, now sophomores, have not had a chance to play together virtually at all this year. And, they don't have the depth of the line to survive that. So, I'm with you. I mean, Geno just, he hasn't been able to overcome these things. They're the worst team in the league on third downs on offense. They're the worst team in the league on third downs on defense. So you're just not flat out not going to win games like that. You can't. So
yeah, and what, he's got a sore, what is it, tricep injury?
Yeah, bruised tricep. I don't think that really bothered him, though, on Thanksgiving. Threw the ball fine. They just got in a hole against a very good San Francisco team. They got it right down to 7 in that second half with the ball. So, I mean, they had the ball twice, only down 7, but they just couldn't do it. Couldn't get over the top, so they ended up losing, not very close. But San Francisco is the superior team to them, and that's not surprising. And I think Dallas is a superior team to them, unfortunately. So they're gonna drop another one, third in a row, I think.
I tell you what, though, Maffei and Witherspoon have had nice little seasons for them. They're young defenders there, so
yeah, they have some things to look forward to. I agree with you there, Mike.
Yep. Next up, we got probably the hottest coaching seat in the NFL, Brandon Staley, visiting maybe another hot seat in the NFL, Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots. I should know better than this to pick the Chargers in this one. I just feel like this is one the Patriots are just going to win because the Chargers are the Chargers. But I do think the Chargers are a more talented team, and I'll take them on the road against New England. Len, what do you think?
No, I'm going to go with you. I'm taking Chargers, too. Patriots have won 10 out of 11 against L.A., but that was the Chargers. But that was a different Patriots team for most of those games. And, yeah, Staley should have been fired at minimum last year after blowing the playoff lead, probably the year before, in my opinion. How he continues to coach, I don't know. Belichick and the Patriots, to me, seem like they're headed towards a divorce. I would say there's a very good chance you could see Belichick coaching this Chargers team next year. I wouldn't be surprised, honestly. But I'm going Chargers.
All right, we both got the Bolts there. Next up, we got the LRC Lions looking to get back on the winning track, visiting the severely depleted New Orleans Saints. They're missing quite a few skilled players, or at least they lost some during the last game. Chris Olave was just getting peppered. I think he went out with a concussion. I did not see where he's at today. Rashawn Salaam also out. Not Rashawn Salaam. Rashid Shaheed. Also out with an injury. So they're going to be down quite a bit of skill players. Going to be a lot of Kamara action, Derek Carr is back, though, and the Lions on the road. I got to take the Lions in this one. I just think they're a better team, and they'll rebound, even though actually they've been pretty good on the road this season. I think they might have only lost one game. So they've improved in that, and I think they bounced back here with a win against the Saints.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Lions, too. I think they are not playing their best right now. Previously, these last couple games, they were starting to hit a stride team. Now it seems like they're kind of not. They're kind of going the opposite direction. However, I feel the same way about the Saints. The Saints can't get on track. They'll get one game where you're like, okay, they could probably win this NFC South. Then the next week, they lay an egg. I'm just going to go Lions because I think the Lions are going to win this game. But it's not. Neither team has been impressive lately.
Yeah, Jared Goff coming into the season had quite a streak of not turning the ball over, not throwing interceptions, and it seems like he throws one every other pass now, fumbling it, turning the ball over, not protecting it, and that's really one of his strengths. So he needs to clean that.
Yeah, I think that I feel like maybe people, the team, the media, the fans have got a little bit over their skis with how good this offense is and have like got kind of forgot some of the basics that have made him pretty good last year, which was not turning the ball over and making good decisions. This year it's a little more gunslinger-ish, and it's not working for them. So they need to get back to basics here a little bit, I think. Pound the ball and, you know, give him some easy throws rather than thinking you're going to be like this high-powered offense. That'd be my opinion.
Yeah, it seems like they really need to establish themselves on the ground. I'm not sure. Did David Montgomery get hurt in that last game? I seem to remember.
I couldn't even tell you. Yeah. I think he did leave the game. I don't remember, honestly. Like, I was probably in a turkey coma at that point.
Right. So we both got the Lions in a rebound game on the road there. Next up, Len, we have the Dirty Birds on the road visiting the New York Jets and 47-year-old starting quarterback Tim Boyle, but might not be the Boyle show very much longer because someone came back to practice. Len, tell us about that.
Yeah, the fraud himself, Aaron Rodgers, is back at practice doing the dog and pony show that he's going to be back from his quote-unquote torn Achilles. There's a lot of questions here. One, I don't think he tore his Achilles if he's able to play this soon. One, that's my first thing. My second thing is, he's a complete attention whore, and in my opinion, he's just doing this. And then when they lose the next two games or two of the next three or one of the next three and they're out of the playoff contention, I think he and ultimately pulls out and does not play any games this year. But he really wants to show. If he does play, it's for one reason only, to stroke his own ego so he can tell everybody he came back from a ruptured Achilles in record time. That's really all he's about. He's all about himself. He's not about this whole team. He's not about any of this. If he was about the team, he would already have ended this season because they are toast, toast, toast. This team sucks. They're not going anywhere with or without Rodgers, as I believed before the season. Now, I can't prove that now because he didn't play. But this game stinks because after saying all that, the Falcons are so inconsistent and so gross that even though Boyle's playing, I think the Falcons have a chance to blow this game. I'm going to take Atlanta, but I don't feel great about it, and I hate the Jets. I just think that team stinks, totally.
All right, I'm going to take Atlanta, too. I was going to take the Jets, but I feel like every time I do that, I'm just digging myself a deeper hole against you here, so I'm going to go with my gut and take the Falcons. I do just think they're a little bit better of a football team. That defense isn't bad, although their quarterback situation is a mess, too, it seems. Len, I kind of came up with a thesis today as I was staring out the window, and I just want to present it to you real quick, see what you think about
sure.
it.
Sure. Okay.
Aaron Rodgers is the CM Punk of football. What do you think about that?
I think it's great. It's off to a blistering start already. Just that thesis statement. Do you have some facts to back it up?
That's I just have the abstract written, so that's all.
Okay. Yeah. No, I agree with you. Very, very similar to CM Punk, in that he has a overinflated self sense of worth and self sense of self-importance, that and those are the main things to him. Like CM Punk obviously returned this week to WWE, made for a great moment at Survivor Series, all that, But he came to the ring Monday, gave a very mid promo, and within where he called himself the best in the world, like it was no fact, and it's just not a fact. He's literally never been the best wrestler in the world at any point, much like Aaron Rodgers has never been the best quarterback in the world ever at any point. So it's a great thesis, Dave, and I like it very much.
Yeah, it's more of the personality thing for sure. They kind of remind me of each other, quite honestly, too.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but it seemed like a fit, so I went with it. I drafted it, and here we are. So
I like. Well, I was listening to another wrestling podcast I listened to today. I thought this was pretty funny. The one guy on there said his wife is not like doesn't watch much. She never saw CM Punk like on AEW or anything. But like heard what he did there and how he was like getting in fights and blah blah blah, and when she saw him was very unimpressed, and he said she thought she was getting Batista, but she got a barista, which I think was really fucking funny because he does look like a barista kind of CM Punk, and I just thought that was really good.
Yeah, he reminds me of somebody who would either be a barista or frequent a lot of coffee bars, maybe. I've just honestly never saw the big deal about the guy. Now Aaron Rodgers was a really good quarterback, but CM Punk just never impressed me. I think he was really popular when wrestling wasn't, and that's all you have to say about that. It was an interesting moment, like you said, very mid promo. I think that's what the M and CM stands for, is mid.
Did I tell you how our boy Don Dawson spoiled the return for me? Did I tell you that?
No, we were kind of, me and CM Nick were kind of teasing you in our chat, saying some things that weren't necessarily true, just to throw you off. But what did Don Dawson do?
Well, here's what happened. So I told you guys, there's only a few people I need to tell, like I'm not watching it live, so they don't accidentally spoil it for me. You know what I mean? There are most people. I don't have a ton of friends that are watching these shows live. So I told you and CM Nick, obviously. And then I told my buddy Anthony. He always honors it. He knows. And then I told my kid I work with, Dustin and Nate, this other kid that comes to Annapolis. They were, I told both of them on Facebook because they will randomly spoil something. So I told them all. I was with Don Dawson. Me and Don Dawson, I was at his house. I watched the first 90 minutes of Survivor Series at his house. And then we went to Charlie's because our friend's band was playing there, Innocent Sin. So we went down there to see them and support them. So I never even thought to tell Donnie because, as you know, Donnie and I have been watching wrestling together since I was 9 or 10 years old, I would say. And he was 5 or 6 years old. We've been watching wrestling together that long, literally our whole lives. We've been wrestling best friends and best friends in general. So I didn't even think I had to tell him, really. We had a conversation. I said, I'm going to watch it through when I get home, finish it, blah, blah, right from the point we leave off, nothing. No, never think anything of it. So we're at Charlie's watching this band. You know, the band's great. The crowd's dead. So there's nothing really going on there. We're just there to support our guy, our people. And then it's like, I'm not even looking at the clock, but it was like 11:02. Fucking Donnie gets an alert on his phone. We're just sitting there, you know, He goes, oh, my God. He's like, no fucking way. Like, goes to show me his phone. And I was like, if that's wrestling, don't show me that phone. And he was like, I won't. But I already know that. You know what I mean? Like, the way he said it, I already know. So I was like, fucking Punk's there, isn't he? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, God damn it, Donnie. Like, why did you tell me that? Like, I want to see this. And then so ruined anyway, despite my best efforts. Mm-hmm. But like I told him, you know, no hard feelings. My thing is, I need to just know, I have to fucking watch everything live or I can't trust that I won't get spoiled. I have to watch
it's hard.
Everything live. It's ridiculous.
It's hard nowadays. It's hard nowadays to keep a secret, you know, and
credit. Yeah, that was a great point that WWE was able to pull this off in 100% secrecy. Nobody knew it was happening. I mean, people guessed, but nobody knew it was happening. All the speculation, all the dirt were saying it wasn't happening. So credit to them. And I watched it when I got home, and it was still a cool moment. You know, even though I don't like Punk, I think it's a bad to bring him back. all that. Still made for a cool moment. So no big deal.
Yeah, it was a classic fake out. You get the copyright logo come up. You think the show is going off the air. Then all of a sudden, there he is.
Yeah.
CM Punk, Chicago Mid Punk.
Chicago Mid Punk, exactly.
And that's it. That's the pinnacle of his run in WWE was that right there. It's all downhill from this point. Mark my words. Our good friend CM Nick could hardly contain himself. Texting me like mad. He was texting me all these arguments he was getting in on the internet with people defending his boy. So he's got a lot to speak for, a lot to explain when he's here in the living room about how excited he was and what's going to happen. He's fantasy booking them all over the place. Another one, my friends, Crimson King, you might remember him.
Oh, yeah, of course.
He's a big CM Punk mark.
Of course, yeah.
All of, you know, just all kind of fantasy booking all the way out to SummerSlam, for Christ's sake, for CM Punk. I mean, these people can't contain themselves. They just love the guy. I don't get it.
You know, listen, I'm as big a wrestling fan as anyone you'll ever meet. I love pro wrestling. I have my whole life. I always will my whole life. And I get it. Like, I get behind guys and all that stuff. But I have never got the CM Punk thing. And he's just burnt wrestling fans time and time again. They don't care. They just keep coming, crawling back to him. And it just doesn't make any sense to me. Like, I think best case scenario for his return, in my opinion, is that we're lucky enough that he doesn't become a complete asshole by WrestleMania, and you get him and Rollins at WrestleMania. And that's the peak, because if he goes further than that, I mean, I'll be stunned. I just can't imagine he can make it that far without just believing his own hype. You know he wants Reigns. I mean, all that stuff is sitting there on the table. There's a lot of stuff sitting there. If he was a normal person and could play the game, I would be like, oh, yeah, there is a lot of stuff there for him to do. But I just don't think he has it anymore. I don't think he's a great wrestler anymore. I don't think he's great on the mic. The promo Monday was nothing at all. I mean, it was very bad at best. Mid might be generous, to be honest.
I mean, but the I'm home promo is like something that they like take one, you know what I mean? Like a brochure before you go out from Gorilla, like take this and read it. Like, that was just, come on, you're not home, man. Who are you kidding? Get over yourself.
You spent your whole last 10 years bashing WWE, bashing it. Constantly and constantly and constantly bashing, and now he's back home. Not to mention the worst part of the promo, and I know you might disagree, maybe you'll agree, every time early in the promo, he tries to fucking shoehorn an NHL reference in there. And let me tell you, guy, nobody gives a shit about the Blackhawks or the fucking Predators or the NHL writ large. No. Nobody cares. Do not fuck. Those promos are so stupid. He always does it every promo.
Yeah, in fact, I was going to mention something about that. I was going to say, I guarantee he mentioned something about the Blackhawks, which we all know he's a fake hockey fan. I think he likes to pretend he likes hockey. It's something annoying hockey fans do growing up around a lot of them. My life is they always like to shoehorn hockey into the conversation. They want you to like their sport really bad.
Yeah.
I used to be one of those guys too. And CM Punk is just like that. He just needs to always fit a hockey reference in there somehow, even though the Blackhawks and the Predators haven't been relevant for several years on that rivalry.
Yeah.
In fact, the Blackhawks are most relevant now for scandal after scandal and Connor Bedard. And that's it. And
I do like Connor Bedard. I don't like hockey at all, but I'm going to strap on to him. He's my guy.
Yep. All right. Well, that's the Falcons and the Jets for you, everybody.
Yeah.
CM Punk, Aaron Rodgers, same guy. Write it down.
Yep.
Next
definitely.
Up, we have the rejuvenated Stairway, 400 yards of offense, just a circus of offense out there, and just a dominating 16-10 victory. Last week, they welcome in James Conner, former Steeler, Pitt Panther, and the rest of the Arizona Cardinals and the Lollipop Guild of Kyler Murray, Rondale Moore, Greg Dortch, the whole gang, totaling a grand total of 7 feet tall, that whole offense, I think. And they're not doing too well. Kyler looks okay. I think the Steelers win this one at home, quite honestly. So, Len, do your thing.
Yeah, I'm with you, Mike. I'm going Steelers all the way. The stairway is back. The offense is back. The first week under new play caller, Mike Sullivan, right over from the Penguins. He came right over. He's calling plays now. And he, I mean, what, like, they only scored 16 points, though, so there's obviously still work to do. But one thing I will say that I think everybody has to be happy about, whether this was him, whether it was Kenny, whatever it was, they attacked the middle of the field more than they have all year. And getting Freiermuth back and getting him involved is a very big key to this offense. I thought, all you know, before the season started or anything, their offense was contingent upon having him, a good running game, him, Johnson, and Pickens. You need all of that. Because to me, Pickens, Johnson are okay. They're not great. They're not game breakers. They're not world beaters. And Freiermuth, again, like, he's a solid tight end, has a chance to be a solid tight end, and the running game could be solid. So, but you need all of those parts to have any chance of moving the ball. They were missing Freiermuth for a long time. The running game struggled out the gate. Now they've kind of got that figured out. Now, if they can get some consistency out of Pickens and Johnson, I think the points will come, too. So, Arizona's bad. I think Pittsburgh wins this game pretty easily, honestly. I think Murray gets wrapped up by Watt at least two times, maybe three times.
Yeah, he'll be scurrying around all day, no doubt. I think they're going to be out of their element there in Pittsburgh, too. They had a big game from T.J. Watt last week, which they really need to put them over the top every game. Their schedule is really soft the rest of the season, so they have a wide open path to the playoffs if they want it. And you're right, that first play of the game from the offense right down the seam to Pat Freiermuth for a big gain was pretty much a huge middle finger to Matt Canada, and the team has kind of alluded to that as much. We'll talk more about it about that on the stairway. You can hear that. It'll be coming shortly after this podcast. I'm actually recording that right after I get off the phone with Len, so we'll talk more about that.
Double duty.
Yep, and Deontay Johnson just fucking sucks. And So we'll definitely talk more about that as well. I'm sick and tired of him, and that's going to be the key. Can you trust these guys when it really counts? I don't think they're going to be a threat in the playoffs, obviously, but yeah, they'll sneak into the playoffs if they can win the games they should win the rest of the year, so... Hey, it's un-Steelers like to fire their coordinator midseason like that, so I'm just glad they had the balls to do it, and they should have done it. They should have done it sooner. All right, Len, we have a classic AFC South matchup here. We got the Colts visiting the Titans. Give me your winner in this one.
Yeah, this one's. I mean, the Colts are right there in the mix with the Steelers and a few other teams, and for that sixth and seventh playoff spot. You know, people know I'm not a fan of Minshew. I don't, you know, believe in him at all. And I strongly believe that one of these games he's going to blow up and cost them a game they should win. Do I think it's going to be this week in Tennessee? I do. I think they're going to lose this game to Tennessee, and I think it's going to be a Will Levis game where he plays better, Henry plays better, and I think you'll see two or three turnovers for Minshew cost them this game. So I'm going to take the Titans here.
Okay. Yeah, that leaves the door open for me to take the Colts in this one. I think it's a coin flip. Like you said, I think it could go either way. Minshew could blow up at any time. Jonathan Taylor is not out, but Zach Moss was a serviceable replacement for him, so they should be able to keep that running game going, I imagine, and stay on schedule against the Titans. Titans are way better at home than they are on the road, so that's not a bad pick there, but I will take the Colts in this one. Moving on, Len, we got the combustible Sam Howell. You never know what you're going to get with him. He slings it around for a lot of yards and stuff, and yeah, running backs aren't bad, and I just really don't know. Ron Rivera is on the outs, sort of, it seems like. It's just kind of an uneven time there in Washington this year. They welcome in the Dolphins, and I will take the Dolphins in this one. They just beat up on teams that are worse than them, and it's the teams that are as good or better than them that's going to be the real challenge for them going forward. What do you think, Len?
Yeah, I'm going to take the Dolphins, too. Commanders have one of the worst pass defenses in the league and one of the worst offensive lines in the league. Howell showed enough to me, but I feel like we're really staring down a brand-new regime coming in next year. So that could very easily spell the end for Howell, even though he's played very well this year. I mean, he's, don't get me wrong, he makes a ton of mistakes, all that stuff, but he's shown, to me at least, that he's a potential starter in this league. I mean, he's, you know, is he on the, you know, Minshew, Fraud, Patrick scale? Yeah, he is. That's exactly where he is. Can make a bunch of turnovers, can make some big plays. I don't know, but he's still younger than them, so I think he's, and he should be still considered a starter going into next year. However, when stuff gets cleaned out, the new ownership, I expect a new general manager, maybe a new head coach, maybe even the enemy's gone. I think there's a good chance I thought coming into this year, it was pretty much set in stone they were going to pass the reins from Rivera to the enemy. I don't think that's the case necessarily anymore. So we'll see how it goes. But for right now, the Dolphins are just better than them, and they're going to put up. The Dolphins' offense has been a little slow lately. I expect this is the game where they get healthy and put up 35, 45 points.
The red hot Russell Wilson and the Denver Broncos go into Houston to play the rookie phenoms there. Tank Dell, C.J. Stroud, the whole gang, Will Anderson, every one of them. They're off a tough loss in the division against Jacksonville, but they are going to look to rebound at home, and I think this is where Denver's party takes a little pit stop, and they're going to lose to the Texans on the road this week. Do you agree, Lynn?
This is a huge playoff implication game here, for sure. Whoever wins this game, you know, has got a good chance to be in the right in the mix of the playoffs. The loser might be in some trouble. This is a big game. Actually, I'm going to go Denver here. I like the way they're playing lately. They're just playing hard. They're running the ball. Russ is playing smart, and they're kind of controlling the ball. I think they'll do that again. And I, you know, like I said, I love Stroud. I believe in Stroud. He's been unbelievable, even against Jacksonville in the loss. I just feel like there's a game or two coming up here where he's going to look like a rookie. Hasn't really had it yet. Too bad. But I think this might be it. So I'm going to go ahead and go with Denver here.
That's fair. You know, and I think that rookie wall is going to creep up on some of these guys, maybe Stroud. You know, they get to a point where they really haven't played that much football at this high of a level for that long in a year. And I right. think that does start to wear on some of the guys. He has started to turn the ball over a little bit more. So some cracks showing, but I do think overall at home, I think they're a safe bet against the Broncos. But you're right. A veteran like Russ, it could come down to turnovers again. And, yeah, I don't think that's a bad pick at all, taking the Cos there. But I will stick with the Texans. Next up, Len, we got a real barn burner here. We got the Frank Reichless. The Reich is over there in Carolina. He becomes, I believe, the first coach ever to be fired twice in consecutive seasons. And they visit Raymond James Stadium and Peter Power, Baker Mayfield, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Do the Panthers, Len, do they start off the tenure without Frank Reich with a win here in Tampa Bay?
This is an interesting one. Usually you get this new coach. There's a little bit of a new coach hype, you know, and people get pumped up for him. Who'd they name interim? I don't even remember. Do you know who it was that they named as their interim coach?
No, I'll look that up real quick while you talk here.
Yeah, well, the thing about this game is to me, first of all, if you're going to fire Reich in the first season, then don't ever hire him in the first place. I would have never hired him in the first place. It's a terrible hire, in my opinion, one. Number two, you have a rookie quarterback that comes in, starts from day one, and he's clearly not ready to start. He just isn't ready to start. They should have started Dalton, or they should have, you know, something like that, and let him sit for a while at the beginning of the season. You know, I don't agree with any of those decisions earlier. And I also obviously think they should have drafted C.J. Stroud, because I thought Stroud was the best quarterback in the draft. None of that, all that withstanding, you can't give a guy 11 games and with a rookie quarterback that's clearly not ready and a team that's not built to win at all, and then fire him, I mean, and scapegoat him. So whatever. I mean, I don't care if Frank Reich's getting paid $9 million a year for the next 3 years. Said he's probably done in the NFL. Just hang it up, Frank. Go to the beach. Live it up. I mean, I don't blame you. But I mean, it's scapegoating. So whatever it is, it is. But, you know, Tampa has just been so infuriating, too, because they look good. Like, they look like they could be the best team in the NFC South. Them Saints, Falcons, have all been like right around. Who's it going to be? I thought it was going to be the Saints to start the season. Now it looks like maybe the Falcons. Who knows? I mean, Tampa's the better team. Who's the coach? Let me just make my decision.
Their coach, the interim head coach, Len, is Chris Tabor.
Chris Tabor.
Yeah, he was a special teams coordinator for the Panthers since last year. He was a special teams coordinator with the Bears prior to that, the Browns before that, and the Bears again prior to that. That's his NFL resume.
So special teams coordinator, okay. You know, special teams guys are fired. I'm going to take Tampa, though. I can't go with Tabor. I don't know enough about him to believe in him. I'm going to go Tampa.
Wasn't the Raiders, Bisaccia, wasn't he the special teams coach?
He was.
Them real fired up last year.
He did. I mean, special teams coaches generally have a lot of energy. I will say that.
Yeah. He was his last head coaching experience, Len, came in 2001 for Culver Stockton. Can you tell me where Culver Stockton is located?
California?
Good guess. You would think Stockton, California, right? It is a private Christian liberal arts college in Canton, Missouri.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I never would have got that. Didn't even know there was a Canton, Missouri.
Well, now
what are you going to take, Mike? You take Tampa or you take Tabor?
I'm taking Tampa here in this one for sure. I'm not crazy about either one of these teams, but Carolina just does not inspire me at all. Midfield can flub his way to a win every now and then, and he'll do that here at home. I tell you what, though, I really do like those all pewter Buccaneers uniforms.
Yeah, those are nice. I like those.
That's not pewter. They're gray. What? Which color? Yeah,
I don't know. I know which ones you mean. I don't. Yeah. I think that is pewter, but I'm not sure.
Okay. Yeah, clay colored, whatever that is. Pewter. Yeah, we'll call it pewter.
I think it's pewter.
All right, we have the Cleveland Browns headed out west to visit the Rams, and the Browns may be without their second string starting quarterback, Dorian Thompson-Robinson. That offense just looks disgusting. I think Amari Cooper was banged up. They refused to run the ball. Just not a good offense. The defense is going to keep them hanging on like a thread. The Rams are showing some life, though. Now that they got kind of all their pieces back, Kyren Williams looked really good last week. I got to take the Rams at home here, Len.
Yeah, Joe Flacco taking first team reps now with DTR and the concussion protocol. So if DTR can go, it'll be Joe Flacco Sunday. I think it gives them a better chance to compete, but it could also get ugly with Donald and the boys getting after Flacco. Like you said, the Rams are still hanging around. They're still in the mix. They're still in the hunt. They're just like right on the peripheral of the playoff spot. So, and also Myles Garrett got banged up last week. So obviously, if he's not 100%, that Browns defense takes a humongous hit, clearly. I'm going to go Rams as well. I'm going to go with you on this one. I don't know. I don't feel great about either of those teams, though.
We're on to the game of the week now. This could very well be a preview of the NFC Championship, certainly a preview of potentially deep in the playoffs. We got the Niners headed out east to visit the dominant Philadelphia Eagles, fresh off a big win against the Bills in a very good game. They host Purdy and the gang. Man, Len, this is going to be a really good game. The Eagles have a tough schedule here down the stretch, and it's highlighted by this game against the Niners. Why don't you give me your winner in this one?
Yeah, this one's interesting in the fact that the Eagles are the first team in NFL history, 10-1, with their starting quarterback to be underdogs at home. So they're a 3-point underdog at home to San Francisco, which is, I find, very curious myself. Philly and San Francisco, to me, are the class of the league, but I don't see how you have San Francisco as better than them on the road at this point. I just don't get it completely. This is a complete coin flip to me. I think these teams are very even. I'm going to take San Francisco here in a close one. I just don't know. I feel like they're kind of hitting on all cylinders a little bit more than the Eagles right now. The Eagles are finding ways to win these games, but not in a dominant fashion. So I'm going to take San Francisco here in this one.
All right, I'll take the Eagles. They just find ways to win. They're just the consummate team. They got strength all across the field on both sides of the ball. And I think at home, you got to give them the advantage here. So I'll take the Eagles. But like you said, flip a coin. Both these teams are very, very good. And we'll see them later in the year for sure, as long as health permits. That's one thing we can bank on. I'm not sure if the Eagles will have Dallas Goedert back. That'll add another layer to their offense that's kind of been missing the last few weeks. The run game is starting to sputter a little bit for the Eagles, not as hot as it was earlier in the season, I think. And that could be one of the big factors in the game, is which team can run the ball better here. Both defenses, though, pretty good. But I'll give the Eagles the edge at the link. So moving on to the Sunday night game. The Chiefs got a win against the Raiders last week, a bounce back from a tough loss from them where the offense was really sputtering. And Pat Mahomes goes into Lambeau Field for the first time in his career, and they are going to pounce on the Green Bay Packers. We'll take the Chiefs in this one. I assume you will too, Len.
I will, although I will say Green Bay is playing better, and Jordan Love's playing better the last few weeks. Yes. And they're again, another team that's right on the edge there. This is going to be a tough one. They lose this one, it puts them in a real tough spot to come back from. But I just don't think they have enough to beat Kansas City here, even at home. Although, like I said, I do feel like they're playing better. I just don't trust them to get the job done. Kansas City's defense has been really good this year, better than their offense by quite a bit, in my opinion. So this might be a little bit of a rough day for Jordan, although, like I said, he has played better lately. I'm going to go Chiefs as well, yes.
Yeah, I don't think anything Lambeau Field is going to throw at Pat Mahomes is going to throw him off. It really does remind me of Arrowhead. Similar conditions, similar part of the country, similar weather. Mahomes and crew is going to be at home there. But the offense and its consistency is going to be the big question for the Chiefs down the road. But you know what? You spend $500 million on your quarterback, you got to cut corners somewhere else in the roster. And for the Chiefs right now, it's on those skill positions. So they better make it work for sure. And they're going to have a tough time repeating, but they will get the job done in Green Bay. This game here, a couple cats, Len, Feline Bowl. This is a game that looked better on paper earlier in the season, but with the injury to Joe Burrow, less so now. The Bengals did not look great against the Steelers. That offense is going to have a rough go of it. And the Jags are doing Jags things. They're going to be a factor in the playoff hunt, I think. And I do think the Jags win the Cat Bowl here, the Feline Bowl, at home against the Bengals.
Yeah, I agree. I got to go to Jacksonville. I mean, yeah, Cincinnati. They were game against the Steelers. And, you know, Browning wasn't terrible. I mean, he played all right, tried to keep them in that game, but they just don't have enough without Burrow. And Lawrence had one of his best games of the year. He's starting to come along a little bit. Jacksonville's right there in the mix for the number one seed with Kansas City and Baltimore. So they got to keep winning. This is going to be interesting down the stretch. But, yeah, I'm taking Jacksonville, too. Got to take Jacksonville.
Yeah, Browning isn't terrible, you know what? But you definitely lose a dimension between him and Burrow, for sure. But he's not bad. No. He's going to be a serviceable backup for his career, I think. He can play decently. But, yeah, the Jags are, at this point with Burrow out, just a better team all around, especially at home. Oh, Len, Jaguars, Bengals, yeah, both very, very predators, just predators of the jungle, right? The Jaguars are in the jungle.
We probably checked the speed, land speed of these two versus each other before, I'm assuming, so we're going to have to do that again, but yeah, I think they're both, I think they're both predators. I really don't know. They're both jungle cats, certainly, right?
Bengal Tigers. Bengal Tigers are like in Asia, right?
In Asia, yeah, probably. That's probably true. They're in Asia, South Asia, like India and stuff has Bengal Tigers for sure. I mean, but in the wild, I mean, I would think they're in like the jungles of Asia, right? Or no?
I want to say it's more of like the savannah.
Like a mountain cat.
Distribution and habitat. Let's look here. Lambridge. Always like a good Lambridge. Moist evergreen forest, tropical dry forest, tropical and subtropical, tropical moist deciduous forest, mangrove.
That's jungle.
Mangrove. That's jungle. Yeah, that's we'll call that a jungle. Now let's look at their land speed here. Bengal tiger land speed. Len, do you want to guess their land speed?
I'm going to go.
Which one's faster?
62 miles per hour. I'm going to say, I think the Jaguar is faster.
Okay. That sounds right to me. All right. The Bengal clocks in at 35 to 40 miles per hour.
Okay.
And the Jaguar, is that the car? Just a whisker faster.
By a whisker for sure.
Yeah. So now that that's solved, Len, I have one question for you. They're not playing this week, but you talked about him all year. You talked a big game about this guy. You've been all over him all season long, no matter what team he's played for. What the heck's going on with Josh Dobbs, Len? Is he going to start for the Vikings after the bye week?
Well, it's a good question, Mike. I don't know. He's been in some tough situations. He's played well most of the year, but of course has a bad record because he was on the Cardinals, and obviously Monday was his low point. 4 interceptions, not a good game at all on Monday. But the guy's not expected to play great every game. I mean, I just think he's been a good story, a feel good story all year. Now, if I'm Minnesota and I have a young quarterback that I want to see more of, by all means, I would probably sit Josh Dobbs. However, I don't think they have a young quarterback worth seeing more of. I mean, Jaren Hall or whatever his name is, I just don't see it. I know he's going to be back after the bye. They could play him, I guess. To me, they're right on the edge of the playoffs. I would still roll with Dobbs for now, although he was absolutely not good on Monday. But let me tell you something. Jaren Hall, like Sean Mannion, whoever else they got there, those guys can put up a stinker just as easily as Dobbs. People like Dobbs. They seem to rally around him. I don't know. I'd stick with Dobbs. What do you think?
Yeah, you got to stick with him. I think that was the first time he ever threw 3 interceptions in his entire pro or collegiate high school career.
And
one bad game, you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Now, granted, it was not a good game, but they also had a chance to win it there at the end with a stop.
Right.
They get the lead. So you're still in the hunt. You can't just go testing guys out. They don't have anyone. I think Jaren Hall, come on. Nick Mullins is the other option there. I do think you stick with Dobbs. You get Justin Jefferson back after the break. Got to get that run game going. Maybe steer away from Madison a little bit. But yeah, they're still in it. I think you got to stick with Dobbs. He got you through the last couple of weeks. He's starting to show his cracks like he did in Arizona. Started off hot and started to tail off. But at this point, I think he's their best option. So you stick with him.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. You got to stick with him. I mean, he's earned it, I think.
Yeah. So we are coming up on the 8 o'clock hour here, Len. I know you're just itching to get in there and start Dynamite, and you're out in the cold in the mobile office here, so I don't want to keep you too long. Maybe go get yourself an ESS, snuggle up on the couch, turn on Dynamite, watch John Moxley bleed like a stuck pig. Just go enjoy yourself, okay? And we'll see you back here for week 14. Len, do you have anything else you want to add before we sign off?
No, that's it. We've covered it all. I'm good. I'm going to go home and, pop a pain pill for these teeth and just lay down and drift into the evening here. I'm not going to watch Dynamite because it's just impossible to watch. So I'm going to skim through it tomorrow, most likely, is what I usually do. Thursdays, just skim through that on a fast forward, maybe on a 2 or a 3 to see what's happening. Stop when I see Willow Nightingale and, move on.
All right. Well, we're both going to slip away then. Enjoy your evening, Len. Thanks for joining us, everybody. It's Mr. Just Right for Len Biggs. We'll see you back here in week 14. The champs are out.